Second Samuel chapter 21, verses 20 and 21. And there was yet a battle in Gath, where was a man of great stature, that had on every hand 6 fingers, and on every foot 6 toes, 24 in number, and he also was born to the giant. And when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimeah, the brother of David, slew him. And may the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. Well, it's been a long, hard fight. And we come to the fifth and final giant in our study today. This giant is a difficult giant to overcome. Difficult in our day in many respects. The thing that's obvious about him today is this description of him. And so what God wants us to learn from him is not found in his name, as in the other giants, the first 4 giants that we looked at, but rather the description that God gives us of this giant. There was a battle in Gath where was a man of great stature, another of the giants, that had on every hand 6 fingers, and on every foot 6 toes, 24 in number. And he was also the son of the giant. Today we're going to talk about the giant of greed. Greed is the scriptural term for greed is covetousness. It means a desire to have more. The word is always used in a negative sense in Scripture. Sometimes it refers to desiring more material possessions. Other times it's used to describe extortion. But a covetous person is one who is always grasping, trying to get more. A covetous person is one who is always selfish. The act of coveting involves fixing a desire upon something, whether it is good or bad, and then just longing for it, desiring it. You have to have it. You know, I just won't be happy. I won't be satisfied. I won't be content unless I have it. To covet is to crave or to yearn for something. In fact, the only time I know where coveting is used in a positive sense is when Paul tells us that we are to covet the best gifts, the gifts of the Spirit there. Greed is expressed not only by craving or longing for more, but also holding back that which is due to others. If somebody deserves something or we owe somebody and we don't give it to them, we don't pay them, but we hold it back for ourselves, that's also considered greed. A greedy person is stingy and miserly. So let me go over this list of characteristics of greed with you this morning. First of all, greed is the root of all evil. Greed is the root of all evil. The desire for more things is usually focused on money, since it's with money that we can buy things that we think that we need or things that we want. It's by means by which we obtain our possessions and our wants. But a person who desires to be rich, now there is, I'll go right up front here and say there's nothing wrong with being rich. There's nothing wrong with having money. The problem comes in with that longing for it, that wanting it, that coveting it. And a person who has such a desire to be rich cannot pray, lead us not into temptation. Because that very desire to be rich will bring a person into temptation. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 and 10 says, "But they that will be rich," those that want to be rich, "fall into temptation." So it's just that desire. They'll be snared. They fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, not money is the root of all evil, but for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So there are those that have love of money, and because of this, it caused them to err from the faith. It caused them to turn from the faith. And they pierced themselves through with many sorrows. That's God who gives the ability to make wealth. And the scripture says that when God gives the ability to make wealth, he adds no sorrow with it. But when we do it our own way, and when we covet after, there are ways to riches, but they also bring sorrow with them. And so God would want us to do it His way. He would want to bless us. And then the scripture does warn that when God blesses us and we have riches, but not the accompanying sorrow, that we are not to set our heart on those riches. Because God may bless us with riches today, and tomorrow He might take away those riches. Job said, "The Lord gave and the Lord took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." So, number one, greed is the root of all evil. Number two, greed is idolatry. Greed is idolatry. An idol can be a person or object that we worship. Worship involves devotion in exchange for desired benefits. So if we desire benefits, money or possessions, for example, that only God can give, if we expect these things out of money, when only God can truly give them, we make these things our gods. They become our idols. Paul makes the connection between covetousness and idolatry in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. He says, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry." So Paul says it very, very plain there. You can't get any clearer than that. Covetousness is idolatry. If we desire what God has not given to us, but what He has given to others, then we are guilty of coveting. That's the definition of coveting. It's a violation of which commandment? Can anybody tell me? Thou shalt not covet is commandment number 10. Very good. Number 10. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, nor shalt thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 17. So greed, number one, is the root of all evil. Number two, greed is idolatry. And number three, greed is self-destructive. Because the very things that we grasp for, we lose. There are a number of paradoxes in the Christian life and following the Christian principles. And Jesus applied to this truth that what we try to grasp, we lose in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 39. He said, "He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loses his life for my sake, the same shall find it." See, if you try to hang on to your life and live your life for yourself, you're going to wind up losing your life. You're going to lose it all. But if you live your life for Christ and you give Him your all, then He will give you those things that you need. And God supplies not only our needs, but some of our wants as well. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things that we have need of will be given unto us as well. Greed is self-destructive. In North Africa, the natives have a very easy way of capturing monkeys. A gourd with a hole just sufficiently large enough so that a monkey can thrust his hand into it is stuffed with nuts and fastened firmly to a branch of tree at sunset. During the night, a monkey will discover the treasures inside that tree, and he will put his hand inside there and grasp a handful of nuts. But the hole is too small for the monkey to pull his hand out with a fist, and especially as he's grabbed all of those choice treasures. He doesn't have enough sense to let go of his bounty and get his hand out so that he might escape. And so he pulls and he pulls and he pulls, but he's without success. And then when morning comes, he is quickly taken and brought captive. Multitudes of human beings, and by the way, no way related to monkeys, but don't have much more sense than that sometimes. Jesus said, What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You know that there are people that are just trying to hang on to their life. They won't get let go of their life. And Jesus said, what profit is it if a man should gain everything, the whole world, all the money and all the possessions that a person could desire, and yet lose their very soul? Let me tell you, nothing is worth your soul. Nothing is worth losing your soul over. And so give your life to Jesus Christ, and you'll find profit, and you'll gain your soul. The more we release these earthly possessions, the more we can grasp eternal treasures. You know, sometimes as I watch the children, if they have their hands full and you come along with a piece of candy, they make a choice. What do they want to hang on to? They will drop, usually, those treasures in their hand so that they can grasp the candy. You know, in the Christian life, it's a lot like that. And really, faith is letting go of one thing to take hold of something else. And we've got our hands full so many times with things that we want, that we are clenching to, that we are holding. And God's coming along with something better. But we have to let go of what we have to take hold of what He wants. Really, that's what walking by faith is. And that's what the Christian life is all about. It's letting go of one thing to take hold of something else. Take hold of something better. The more we release these earthly possessions, the more we can grasp eternal treasures. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 7 says, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." I'm reminded, maybe you've heard this story, about the man, this was in an Ann Landers column many years ago. The man was going to die, he knew he was going to die, and so he made his wife promise that she would put all of their money into the casket with him, bury all their money into the casket with him, so that when he got to heaven, he wouldn't be empty-handed. The very wise wife wrote out a check and placed it in the coffin. But it is certain that we can take nothing with us when we leave here. We brought nothing into this world. We can take nothing out. Number two, the steps to conquer the giant of greed. We gave you the characteristics. Now we'll give you the steps to conquer this giant of greed. And there's really only two. The first one is to learn the secret of contentment. Learn how to be content. Learn how to be happy and satisfied with the things that you have. If you're not happy with the things that you have, you'll never be happy when you get the things that you want, because there's always more. And so instead of focusing on what you don't have, start focusing on what you do have and begin to enjoy those things. Well, this six-finger giant was conquered by Jonathan. Jonathan means Jehovah given. The recognition that all we have is given to us by God is it what helps us overcome greed. All that we have, all of the blessings that we have are given to us by God. Such recognition carries with it the realization that God's resources are limitless. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. God's resources are limitless. He has more than enough to take care of His people. Therefore, we don't need to hoard or grasp any of it. We can be free to give it away, knowing that God will give us more to supply our need. He can't give us more if we're hanging on to what we already have. And if sometimes you know this is true, the more you give, the more He blesses. Now, we don't give because of that, but we should have a spirit of generosity and contentment. Contentment comes when we realize that God has already given to us everything we need for our present happiness. Contentment should be our attitude if we have sufficient food and clothing, 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 8. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. Contentment is achieved when we exchange things for more of Christ. Paul understood this. He said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." Paul said, I'm willing to suffer loss if that means that I gain more of Christ. I'm willing to give up things so that I get more of Him. That's contentment. And Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." That's the battle, isn't it? Learning how to be content. Learning how to be satisfied in whatever state we find ourselves in. But Jim Elliot, the famous missionary, said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Just in case that's the first time you ever heard that, let me read that to you again. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Ralph Guthrie backs up my point that I gave previously. If I am not satisfied with what I have, I will never be satisfied with what I want. So first of all, learn contentment. Number two, learn to be grateful. To overcome the giant of covetousness and greed, we need to be grateful for what God has given. Learn to be grateful for what God has given. A grateful person is able to enjoy the possessions that God has given. You've seen people without much enjoying life. You've seen people with everything this world could afford not being able to enjoy life. Spirit of gratefulness will help us to be able to enjoy the possessions that we do have. A person who is grateful will not be greedy because gratefulness breeds generosity. Gratefulness recognizes that we have nothing we have not received. Freely we have received. Freely we should give. Charles Spurgeon said, "It is not how much we have, but how much we enjoy that makes happiness." And Jesus said in Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." That's not your life. The things that you possess, that's not your life. That's not what your life consists of. That's not all there is to life. That's not the most important things in life. And so learn to be grateful with what God has given. Now these giants, five of them, you will be fighting these giants all your life. You might as well just recognize that as a fact. You'll be fighting these five giants all the rest of your life. But what I'd like you to do is, at this point in time, and maybe a couple years down the road or whatever, evaluate your success. Every once in a while, evaluate your success in conquering these giants. And then go back and take whatever steps are necessary to prepare for future combat. The reason I gave you these outlines is that so that you could do that. This is not a once-in-a-lifetime series of messages that you hear and you might work on and then just go away and forget about. This is something that you're going to have to continue to come back to, because these temptations will not leave you alone. These giants will not leave you alone. Remember, the first giant was the giant of mockery. And how do we deal with the giant of mockery? We simply tell them what Jesus has done for us. Simply give our testimony. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. If you can't give your testimony, then the next best thing to do is walk away. And that's not a sign of weakness. When they laughed Jesus to scorn, he simply walked out of their midst. No confrontation. He didn't say, "Hey, I'm the Son of God, listen to me." He walked away. The second giant that we looked at was the giant of pride. And the way that we conquer pride is by learning humility. Learning how to humble ourselves. And the Lord will exalt us in due time. But remember, we said that pride is the sin that God judges the swiftest. So we need to deal with pride, and we do that by learning humility. The third giant that we looked at was hypocrisy. And the way that we deal with hypocrisy is by learning sincerity. How we can be open and honest before God and others. Transparent. And the giant that we looked at last week, the giant of lust. Major giant in our day because of our present culture. And you look at it and you're overwhelmed with the giant of lust, because the strongest man who ever lived, Samson, gave into lust. The wisest man who ever lived, Solomon, gave into lust. The man who had a heart after God, David, gave into lust. How can we possibly overcome this giant? One way, the Bible gives us the life of Joseph. Joseph, with a servant's heart, was able to conquer the giant of lust. So pray for a servant's heart. Work on being a servant. Practice being a servant. A servant focuses on the loss of his profitability if he falls into temptation. And the last giant, the giant of greed or covetousness. How do we conquer him? By learning contentment and by being grateful for what God has given. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning, I would like you to evaluate your success right now in conquering these five giants. How are you doing against scorn and mockery? How are you doing against the giant of pride? How are you doing against the giant of hypocrisy? Pretending to be one thing on the outside while you're something different on the inside. How are you doing against the giant of lust? Lust is a terror, not a toy. And how are you doing against the giant of greed and covetousness? You can conquer the giant of hypocrisy right now by admitting to the Lord, "Lord, I'm not doing so well against one of these giants," and name that giant. Simply confess it to the Lord. Ask for his forgiveness. Ask for his grace to help you as you prepare for combat against that giant. How many of you, by a raised hand, would say, "Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm fighting one or more of these giants. I'm not doing as well as I would like to do. So would you pray for grace and strength for me?" Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can put your hands down. Lord, today you see these hands. Lord, we thank you for your grace that helps us overcome. Lord, we realize that these temptations are bigger than any of us. But we also realize, Lord Jesus, that you were tempted in all points like we are. You came against all of these giants, and yet you never gave in to sin. Not one of them was able to strike a blow against you, but you were victorious. And your Spirit now resides in us. And you give us the fruit of the Spirit, the self-control. And you are a high priest, sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us, that we might overcome these temptations. And so I pray, Lord, that you would help everyone who's raised their hand today, help them to become strong in you. Help them to be strong in you and help them to overcome. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Amen. As a way of dealing with the giant of covetousness and greed, I thought it would be appropriate to sing page 283 in your hymnal, "Freely, Freely You Have Received. Freely, Freely Give." 283, let's stand. This is our closing hymn this morning.
God forgive my sin. Thank you.
let that last line be as our benediction today. Go in the name of Jesus Christ, and because you believe, may others know also, and may others know that Jesus Christ lives. You are dismissed.